Welcome, everybody. The purpose of this recording is to talk about stuttering and experiences I've had with a family member. I've been encouraged by speech pathologists who are former students to make this record of what we did, because we really did have a pretty good success after a fairly difficult, challenging situation. I'm not a speech therapist. I encourage everybody listening to really do all your own research and really trust yourselves to look at all the available resources and think carefully yourself about what is best. I'm sure your personal judgment will be the best for all of the concerns in your particular situation. I have been a linguistics professor, associate linguistics professor, for the first part of my career for 16 years. I am aware of language. I did teach courses which had in a fairly superficial way to do with speech pathology, but I don't claim any professional qualifications. What I did have is a situation in the family with a dear child who had a very, very difficult problem that was taken very seriously, analyzed, researched, and had a very, very good result, which is the purpose for this. Now, that doesn't mean that this necessarily applies to you. I think that what does apply to you is our experience of the value of looking into all the possibilities yourselves and using your own judgment. I really believe in that. Now, the first thing that I'd like to say before I say anything in detail about what we experienced or what we did is that I personally believe very strongly that the key to everything, even outside of life, but in this need to help somebody with stuttering, is to enjoy life, with a child. That is the most important thing. And to realize that life has all of these dimensions, and stuttering is not something that really stops life. In fact, I think engaging all of life is a key to success. I would even argue that stutterers end with proper opportunity as grand people. I'm going to be talking a lot about Charles Van Riper, who I seriously believe is one of the greatest individuals who have lived, who has lived inside or outside of the field of speech pathology. So, I'm not a therapist. I was a linguistic professor. I have personal experience. What I did was, at age 3 and a half, child was in great need. I'll talk a little bit about that. I stopped work. I read everything available, including two great books at the time. This goes back to the 70s, by the way, by Charles Van Riper. They're called The Treatment of Stuttering and The Causes of Stuttering. He had had recent heart problems and decided to write down everything that he knew about stuttering. Now, he had been a stutterer himself and was... Well, I consider him the grand old father of modern speech pathology studies, although I'm sure you will find more recent research that will help you even beyond. But the point is that he had great difficulties with stuttering. He went everywhere, around the world even, looking for treatments for himself. He tried everything. He had great experience with the treatments. And... he eventually found something that you could say it worked, you could say it didn't work. I would say it really worked, because as his career progressed and he would go around giving lectures on stuttering, people would confront him saying he wasn't a stutterer. And he would say, I'm paraphrasing now, I will never deign to quote him. You can go to the sources yourself. But he would say, no, I'm stuttering at the current time. His theory, his idea was to, you know, if you can't fight it, fight them, join them, just stutter fluently. I believe the key to this is having a greater focus on the opportunities of life and just going with and around and learning over time to manage the situation, meanwhile living life as fully as possible. How wonderful your child will be in all the opportunities, even while you're feeling sad about some struggling. It can, in my experience, it can turn out very well, to the point where you may find a child who goes through years of some therapy you apply may repress that memory and not even remember the stuttering so much. In fact, that may be thought of from one point of view as the greatest accolade or compliment for any approach to stuttering, if what remembers is life and not necessarily the struggle. Now, I don't mean to minimize the difficulties. There is pain involved. There are difficulties involved. It is very serious, as I will make clear. But what we're going to do here is talk a little bit about what happened, how I used Van Riper, his survey of all the approaches to stuttering, how I made a chart, designed a therapy, had a session every afternoon from 3 to 5 or so for 3.5 years to eventual success, with the help of other family members, of course, great help in some cases. What happened was at age 3.5, dysfluency came on with pretty rapid severity. As all of you are probably quite likely at this point more knowledgeable about the subject than I, as you are likely aware, there are stages. There are simple repetitions of a sound or a syllable, rep, 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 or ra, ra, ra. There are prolongations, ra, so forth and so on. All of these basic dysfluencies are known to be perfectly normal. Everybody has them. Everybody goes through a period where there's more or less of them. Everybody still has them later in life. As you are surely aware, that's not what stuttering really is. Stuttering is the case where it becomes a bit of an impediment. I wouldn't say an impediment, but one of the steps through life. But you might observe in a child repetitions, prolongations. I think it's very important not to overreact to these. Consult your therapist and learn that, if you're concerned, probably a lot of it is just normalcy. Dysfluency, as you will notice in my own speech, I do not remember a period of stuttering, but I do remember having difficulties pronouncing my own name. So, in first grade, so I do wonder if I really had elements of this process in my own life. But you certainly don't categorize anything based on dysfluency, which is such a normal part of human language. As things progress, it might become impossible to ignore. You might notice some surprise in the eyes of the child, signs of struggle, and blocking. If they try to say a sound and just get stuck on that sound, it can't go any further. If this begins to stop expression, if muscles tighten, if there are signs of distress, if there's interference with communication that you consider really worrisome, by all means, consult the therapist. There are so many good therapists. The world, civilization advances. I remember, I don't know the details, but I remember when I was researching all of this, learning there once in a small survey in California where they discovered that speech pathology, I think it was speech pathology, if they did outcome studies, they were finding it really wasn't making much of a difference, not much of a benefit. But civilization advances now, and I think I put confidence in science and go out and find people and use those people that know so much about this beyond what I'm going to talk about, and put your faith in them. But use your judgment, because not everybody will be on top of things the way you will want them to be. in fact, in our case, as the child progressed, by the time he was four, it was really worrisome. We took him to major speech clinics, and they classified it as one of the more difficult or more extreme cases they had seen. And what was a little bit upsetting is they all wanted to do different things. Some folks want not to bring it to the child's attention. Other people want to videotape the child and make them very aware of it. Not to pass judgment on anything at this point, just to say that you'll find all these different responses mean that you really have a responsibility to try and find the best people and do careful thinking to pick what you think is the best approach. Well, we came back from visiting a speech pathologist one summer, and I just came to the conclusion I wanted to really figure this out for myself. So I did stop working for a long time and read everything I could find. I had access to a university library, everything I could find. I took immediately to Charles Van Riper. I can't emphasize enough how much fun it can be to read. He has one of the best senses of humor of any human being. The guy's an absolute stand-up comedian in some things, and yet he is deadly serious about solving an important problem, which I claim he actually did solve, at least in his case, and in terms of philosophy and following it. I do believe that he did lead the way to somewhere very real. I leave it open to you whether you find better or improved approaches. The goal, so I stopped working and I decided to figure out what to do. And looking back on it now, as I look back on it, just to give you a quick summary before I go into details, the overall philosophy I think is very important, and that is that as the therapy proceeds, the goal should be good life experiences. And the child and the whole feeling of interaction should be that life's problems diminish over time. This is advice that can help a lot of young people. And the child should, if you're successful, the child should begin to discover that they can, the child can, he or she can stutter more fluently, can begin to express what they want. And the focus should always be on life adventure and not to get held up. I actually don't like looking at this as a real impediment. That sounds like too big a word, slowing down too much of life. I know it can be very serious and cause real distress. I know that it can be classified as a real problem. But the bigger picture is there is a way forward. And you will meet so many stutterers that know that and do that. Folks who stutter some and just don't care and go out into life. Isn't Joe Biden like that? Somebody who just proceeded straight directly into life. You want to try to add positives wherever you can in the child's life. I mean, Joe Biden had, personality and kind of a politician's looks. One of the people I admire most that came through stuttering well was he became a weightlifter and was very popular with university women. It's really helpful to have other positives going. So one piece of advice is maybe don't just focus on this one issue, but find what is great for the child overall and work on that. Now, with regard to theory, I'm just summarizing in advance here before I go too far. What I really believe is, let's just say that when I was reading, it was just absolutely wasn't known what the causes of stuttering was. Today, they know there are genetic factors. There are lots of theories. There's still a lot of unknowns, so let us not say we don't know anything about the cause of stuttering, but let us say that in all of science there remain mysteries, and there are here too. So let me give you my summary belief after all this experience. My belief is that when the child begins to repeat, begins to stutter, it's because brain cycles are preempted. In other words, it's just like anybody who, we all stutter later in life. If you get distracted, you will repeat some syllables. If the brain cycles are drawn off to something else. Now, notice that is a kind of a definition, but as a scientist, you might say he's not very ambitious because it really doesn't nail it down. Well, I would say that's true, and I'm not claiming any great advance in my own thinking. But I also think that that's the beauty of the definition, because if there can be many distractions, there can be many causes. So, for example, if a child is having trouble with articulation, and I believe this can be a factor based on my own experience, this condition comes on just when the child is, you could say, struggling, but let's just say in the intensive phase of learning the pronunciation of his or her language. So articulation, pronunciation is not perfect. So what if the child's hearing is better than one's production? What if the child hears that he or she isn't saying things just the way he or she wants to? Well, attention can be drawn, especially if the parents have trouble or anybody understanding something. The child may notice that they didn't understand what I'm trying to say, and what I'm saying doesn't sound quite right. So that could be a distraction. Another one might be that in the process of learning, the early stages of learning language, a child's thinking is quite advanced, has nice, fast thoughts that the child should be proud of and will value through life, might get ahead a little bit. And then the issue of retrospectively looking back as the pronunciation drags on behind a little bit. So that is a kind of a theory that I've held, and you will see that about the therapy that I designed, that the intention, the plan, the whole scheme is to address all of the possible interferences at once, which I will get on to. But you can evaluate that for yourself, whether there is the child, instead of just thinking about what they're saying, ends up thinking about pronunciation or thinking about, why is that person looking upset because I'm repeating myself? Or why is that person not hearing what I'm saying? There can be multiple important thoughts in the child's brain besides the simple, beautiful thought that he or she is trying to express. Now, there are a lot of things that stuttering is not, and they need to be put to one side. I'm sure you will read a lot of the literature and get good advice many places. Very common for the mother to feel at fault. Here she is. This is old school. These days more fathers are involved in raising children, but the mother can feel like all this time at home with the mother, somehow she did something wrong. It's been proven that is not a fact, is not the cause of stuttering, and it's not a mental illness. It's in no way is it a neurosis of any kind. So it's really, human beings tend to overgeneralize. They tend to go too far. You see something that's a little bit wrong, and there's a tendency to go to some grand conclusion. And I would say, don't go there. There's a little thing, there's a limited thing wrong. I shouldn't call it little, because I know it can be felt as very difficult, but there's a limited thing at work, and I really think it's wrong to go and widen this to a belief that there's some very big thing wrong, like a mental illness. Now, in that context, don't forget that the home is a set of factors that the child has to deal with. So I notice in the literature there is some belief even today that a general fast-paced, high-expectation environment in the home can be a factor. If everybody is, fast talkers and a lot of interrupting, and it's just like everybody's at a dead run, and the child's trying to learn language and has great spirit for life and wants to get in on that and just can't keep up. I mean, you want to think about all the possibilities. that could be a factor in the home. It's known that the siblings and others competing with the child for attention and time at the dinner table and whatever can be felt to be a little bit difficult for some children. So everything should be considered here, but please do not take aim at one particular person in the home or think of it as something wrong with the child's mental facilities. Okay, so what was the therapy? What did you do? Well, what I did was I took Van Riper's book, which listed all the therapies. Now, please note, since then there will have been a lot more therapies, so you may want to do this for yourself, or you just may want to find a convergence of ideas that suits your belief as to what will really help and track that single approach. But Van Riper was surveying, so I made a chart of all the therapies, and very quickly you see that there are conflicting interventions used by different therapists. I referred to this a moment ago. People simply have different ideas about what to do, and they can really vary. Probably less over time, but there were big differences. So you take and you make a chart, and down the left side you put all the different therapies. This is on a piece of paper, great big huge piece of construction paper, a couple feet across, a couple feet down, and across the top you put all the different interventions that they use, and you will find that some of the approaches are recommended by multiple therapies. Some of them are, let's even say they're a little bit common. A lot of therapies use them. And there are other therapies that are more unusual and are not used by them. So I said to myself, well, you have to respect people who have been working in the field. Let's just eliminate all of the rare and unusual approaches. Perhaps these will, over time, will prove to be very important. But for maybe you consider this a limitation. But what I decided to do was not to do anything that seemed too radical or extreme because it was really unusual. So you've narrowed your chart down to the common approaches, and now you find that there's still conflicts. So some therapies would draw attention to the child stuttering and say things like, try to slow down, or why don't you take a deep breath. Some therapies draw attention to the stuttering. Others say never draw attention to the stuttering. It just increases the child's self-awareness, which creates additional problems. So there's an example of a conflict. What do you do? Well, what I advocate and believe in, you can come to your own conclusion, is simply to look at the conflicts and pick whichever option is most loving or caring. And this is where the idea of what advances the fun and adventure and the warmth of life most, what advances those kinds of values in life the most. So you pick the one that is most fun and most engaging. And so rather in the approach that I adopted, rather than draw attention for the child, slow the child down, I would always want to show the fun of understanding what the child said and moving the conversation ahead to the next event in life, to make to comment on it, to show you understood it and extend it, to pick up on it, to use it, to play off of what the child says. The idea being not to slow down the child, but keep life moving, because for me that's the whole idea. If stuttering can recede, isn't it best if it can recede in the environment of life advancing and the adventure of life continuing? So that was the basic way that I resolved the various conflicts, to pick the one that is most loving and the one that creates conversational interest and excitement. I mean, not over excitement, but interest and involvement and sincere interaction with the child, going with the child and not just going with the child, but giving input to it and the back and forth. Everybody knows what a good conversation is like. The idea is to end up with that. And so that really doesn't have to do with stuttering, or does it? Because that is dealing with the human interaction more than the stuttering directly. Notice this does not draw attention to the stuttering, but is always drawing along beside it. The idea is simply to place your bets. You might even say to yourself, well, what if this doesn't work? Well, if it doesn't work, although I emphasize that it did, if it doesn't work, what do you have? Well, then you have a situation where you've spent all this time with your child, and it's been good time with the child, and it's been rewarding and fulfilling, and there's been the back and forth. You know the child more, the child knows you more. It's a piece of life worth having, even if the therapy doesn't do what you want. Although, thank goodness, it did. So, when I look at the chart then and the individual interventions, what are the factors that came out of the chart that help to design a therapy? Well, as I just said, you need to enjoy the conversation. That just sums up what I've been saying for the last few minutes. You need to enjoy the conversation. But from looking at the chart, I concluded that you need a calm environment. You also need an articulation model and articulation support. Remember, the child is trying to develop his or her phonology, the sounds, the pronunciations of the language. You know, in some languages, even in Czech, there's some sounds that children with no difficulties don't acquire until they're 7.5 years old, the r sound. So, you know, it takes a while. There is learning that goes on here. So the child needs articulation, modeling, and support. The child needs ample time. There shouldn't be a feeling of time pressure. The child needs not to be interrupted excessively. Needs not to be interrupted. After all, if the theory that brain cycles get consumed and interfere with language is correct, interruption introduces a new channel into the whole thing. And the child doesn't know whether to listen or to keep talking. Who wouldn't repeat? I think many people might repeat some syllables when they've been interrupted. I also think the child needs confidence about the future. There should be an attitude or a philosophy behind all of this where you kind of believe that all is going to go well and the child will have a good outcome. And from my experience, if you adopt or even force this attitude in yourself, who knows what attitudes can be forced in oneself, but if you impose this philosophy, I don't believe there's a dishonesty there, because the future can work out well, whatever the outcome of the stuttering therapy. You also need this perception of normalcy as you talk. Remember, the point of normalcy is to communicate, the back and forth. Ideas going out, new ideas coming in, transitioning from one idea that's been raised to the next one that occurs in that context. So conversational flow becomes one of the ideas that is required in this approach. Now, when we get down to the more technical level, there are some additional pieces that I became aware of that I found valuable. I'll leave it to you to decide what might be good for you. I found that I had certain emotional eye and body language reactions that needed to be neutralized. I think his name was Birdwhistle, early discovered way back many decades ago that human beings have well into the 20s the number of signals sent by eye positionings and body language. I think you might try doing what I did. I was fortunate teaching in a university to have students who were stutterers, and I asked them to critique me. What's it like to talk to me? You know, what kind of person am I to talk to? And I learned, one example was that I had a habit of crossing my arms, and I was told by a very high IQ intelligent stutterer who later got a PhD that crossing the arms can feel like impatience to a stutterer. And I very quickly became aware that my eyes were reacting out of concern when the child had severe reactions. So these are feedback mechanisms. The child does something. He's looking at the eyes of the parent. He sees the reaction of the parent. Once again, the mind is distracted and starts thinking about, oh, am I doing something that makes people react that way? There's thinking, there's concern, there's anxiety there. So if a parent cares to, I believe it's worthwhile doing a little, let's call it therapy on yourself, trying to ease yourself out of these strong reactions, which in the end aren't warranted. The child can have a good life, but which are perhaps natural reactions when you see a child struggle. So you may or may not want to work on your emotional eye and body language reactions, but I felt it was important. In addition, I felt it was important to reduce conversational competition in the family. At the dinner table, here I made a mistake, really, because actually I'm very aware of my own shortcomings, as everyone should be. Mine are particularly evident, perhaps. But if you have a child who's really struggling and the competition in the family is really making it hard, should you go through a period where you ask the other children to back off? Well, this can be hard on the other children. On the other hand, properly appreciated, those children become heroes and should be proud and should have feelings of great self-esteem about themselves because they helped another person in need. It's a bit of a complicated question, but I think the psychological literature would generally teach you that putting too much pressure on children to function at the adult level is very hard on children. So I ask you to approach that with some circumspection, even though I still myself find it a complicated question. So those are the elements that were extracted from the charts. That's the general philosophy. Those are the pieces. So how is it done? What is the actual technique? Well, I thought, looking at the chart for many hours, I said I have to just reduce this to something very simple that can encompass all of this. And what I came up with is the belief that it has to be a multifunctional approach. Do a few things that have a lot of effects. So here are the two things that I came up with, and that was to use what is called echo speech, which I will explain, and as I've been talking about, to always advance the conversation in a constructive way. Now, echo speech. This is kind of the centerpiece of the whole approach. The child starts to say something. The child says, I will want to go, whatever. That's some mild stuttering there. And of course, if the child continues, there's no need to say anything. But if there's a pause or there's struggling, I adopted the process of simply echoing what the child says. In other words, I would say calmly, not in a hurry, just echo it. We want to go? Kind of a half question. Now, this shows the child that his speech is being understood. I believe that reduces anxiety. This models the articulation, the pronunciation of the words. that the child is trying to learn. I believe that's a value. This gives the child a chance to think a little bit, make use of the time in collecting thoughts and preparing conversation. Everything isn't a dead long, everything isn't a headlong race into the next sentence. It shows interest in the child. It shows value in what the child is saying. Any psychologist will tell you that validation is the first step in good human interaction anyway. That is a sound basis for a lot of this. So you echo. But it also, it's kind of an easy thing for you to do. So it's relaxing for you. It gives you a minute to think about what your thoughts are. Like the child might carry the conversation forward, or it might be left to you. It gives you a chance to come up with what you think is, just to search your own interests and what's your comeback? What's your thing to say? I mean, you just want to interject some good feeling, you know, let's do it, or whatever comes to mind. Are you sure you want to? There's anything that can be said there that relates to your relationship to the child and what the child is thinking. So, echo speech is the centerpiece of everything I did. I did it for 3.5 years. Came home early from work around 3 o'clock. Went to the beach for a walk just many, many, many days. And spent, you know, the drive down and drive back, and then at least an hour on the beach just doing this every day. And the benefits began to appear, which I'll talk about in a minute. But I'd also like to point out that there are other dimensions to the solution. The child's wife, the child's mother, my former wife, became a preschool teacher in the school to always be around to help in any situation where the child might be ridiculed for stuttering or might be in really difficult situations. She was always there to facilitate. So that was ongoing, and that went on for I think a whole year. Let's see, so it's 4 to 5, and then the child went to kindergarten. Yes, for a year. So the mother was around during the play school for 1 year. The father, 3.5 years, did 2-hour sessions. Outcome: what happened? Well, this persisted for 3.5 years. And there were bits of improvement with regression cycles, improvement-regression cycles, as we started. You begin to see a little bit of improvement and then a lot of regression, a little bit of improvement, a lot of regression. But the overall, if you draw a graph of how we were doing, if we kept actual objective statistics, there was improvement over time. And eventually, after, I don't know, a year and a half, maybe, the stuttering became intermittent, but it was not eliminated because it became intermittent. And then when there was a good period, and we'd try to just ease off of the therapy, which was, you know, this took over a good part of the family life. When we tried to ease off the therapy, that therapy would lose its effect. It's not like a permanent effect. The child was still working through the whole thing, and there remained some articulation issues and things. So we would go back to the therapy, and the family got quite tired doing this. It was, there were some elements of stress about it. My own feeling was to really persist with this and take it through finally to success. And the intermittency, the on and off nature, went in our favor. The fluent periods got longer and the stuttering periods got shorter. And if there was some stuttering, the amount of renewed therapy required to get back to fluency was less. Finally, at around age, I don't know, 7.5 or so, maybe a little before that, there seemed to be success. We had a fluent child, and the child went through the rest of his life, now for many decades, without stuttering. So that is the story of what we did and how we did it. I think the purpose of this discussion should not be for you to swallow whole what I've said, but this should create a mental list in your mind of needs for critique. Where does it feel like I'm wrong? Where might I have misperceived part of the process? Where might your child be different? Where might other therapies have improved since I did this? Really, the whole approach here should be that I asked what could be done, and you should ask what can be done better. Let us not present this as a solution to the problem of stuttering. Rather, this is part of the discussion, and the critique that you might present is the next step. How wonderful where I might be found wrong. Just think about that. Civilization advances. Science discovers things. What about the person who finds something wrong? Please do not rush into taking the approach I did without your own investigations. Find what seems to be appropriate in your situation and then watch carefully. Do you have new ideas? You will. You can do better. The problem of stuttering is one that is obviously quite challenging from a purely scientific point of view, because it's not entirely resolved. We still have incidents in society that is significant. But this is your opportunity to play a role in learning what helps, because that is what I am most interested in, and that is what I sought to find out, what helps. Okay, well, thank you for listening to a long description. I hope it's of help to some folks, and I wish you all the best of luck with your problem, which is maybe not best viewed as a problem, but as one of the steps to move through the adventure of life. Thanks.